Okay, sorry about that. Who else just joined, please?
This is Margaret Erickson.
Hi, Margaret. Hi, who's just joined, please?
This is Jeff Savage again. I got dropped off.
Okay. If you have background noise, please use *6 to mute your phone. And I'd like to welcome our speaker, Dr. Darlene Hess. Dr. Hess is a holistic nurse coach and educator and co-author of the book, The Art and Science of Nursing Coaching. Her coaching and consulting business is Brown Mountain Visions. She has so many credentials. I am just so impressed. She is a certified coach. She has a PhD in health education and health promotion. She is an RN and a certified nurse practitioner. Dr. Hess, I'd like to start by asking you, how did you find your way to coaching?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Vicki. And welcome, everybody. Thank you all for attending today. I really appreciate you attending and listening to me talk about my book and the work that I do. How did I get started in coaching, or how did I get there? I have to say that coaching came to me after several years of practice as a nurse and an extensive career as a nurse educator and as a nurse practitioner. And it was one of those fortuitous kinds of things, meeting someone at a conference, at a professional nursing conference. In this case, it was the American Holistic Nurse Association conference, where I met the person who I received my coach training from, and who is also one of the co-authors of the book, The Art and Science of Nurse Coaching. And in taking that training and connecting with her, I realized how much coaching was a vital part of what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And let me just give you a little bit of background information about where I was at that point. So this was, I would say, maybe I've been a certified coach with the International Coach Federation for, I want to say, maybe five, six years. Received my training before that, of course, because I have to receive the training and do some practicing. So coaching, I've been, you know, affiliated with coaching for probably inching up on 8-10 years now. And where I was in my career at that time was thinking about a lot of things. And I jotted down a few notes about what was going on with me at that time. After getting my PhD, and during the time I was getting my PhD in health promotion, I was real, and while I was working as a family nurse practitioner, I have over 25 years experience as a family nurse practitioner, and of course now I'm a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, I came to believe, based on what I was seeing in my practice, that what was really making people unhealthy was largely not being addressed within the current healthcare system.
Wow.
I was seeing what I called unhappiness, and what I was calling the medicalization of unhappiness.
Wow.
I was seeing much confusion. People were dealing with many, many issues in their own personal lives, with a world that didn't make sense to them. And knowing that they weren't mentally ill, but not knowing how to deal with what they were experiencing, and of course holding on to that long enough, I believe, leads to illness, leads to symptoms. And so where do they go? They typically would end up somewhere within the healthcare system. And I would often be seeing those kind of people. And I noticed that when I would ask people, so what's really going on in your life? What's happening? Or how are things going with your son? Or, you know, what's happening? The stories would emerge, and often the tears would emerge, and the pain that people were experiencing that was behind the symptoms that I was treating them for. And I was very curious about that, and I came to understand over time that I was very interested and very good at helping people begin to address those kinds of things But I also realized that I wasn't in a practice setting where there was really time to do that, and that it really wasn't an expectation of my role at that time to deal with these other kinds of things. People were really focused on doing, you know, being a doing person in society as evidence of their worth in society, and they were losing it, and they never had a sense of purpose. Like I said, just a lot of confusion, a lot of unhappiness. I suppose I could, you know, reach forward a bit and say depression, anxiety. Some people say that almost everybody today has some degree of that. We can certainly say almost everyone experiences some degree of stress, and we have talked about that in our nursing literature and our healthcare literature for quite some time. But the second thing I was seeing was that teaching people, patients in this case, seldom led to sustained behavioral, and I would add emotional, change. I had learned much as a nurse with my basic nurse training. All nurses learn how to teach patients. And so I'd learned about that. And then going through my educational journey and getting a PhD in health promotion and learning about change, you know, studying change and studying behavioral change and what it is that leads people to make behavioral changes, I realized, and it, of course, then at this point it was being sustained by theory, that people did not make sustained behavioral change based on giving them information.
Yeah, that's so true. I find that true as well. Many of you may know I'm a financial planner, and it's exactly the same thing. So, Darlene, can you comment on what does lead to sustained behavioral changes, what that process is about?
I certainly can comment on it, Nikki. Thank you for that comment. Of course, it has to begin with where that other person is, where the client is, where the patient is. It seems so obvious, and I think any nurse would agree with that, and many people outside of nursing would agree with that. But in healthcare, we don't really do much with that. We really think we have all the answers. We look at the research. We look at what we call evidence-based practice and forget that the evidence that we're talking about begins with the patient, you know, what works for the patient. And that's actually included in the early literature on evidence-based practice, but it's not talked about so much in many circles. So it begins with the other person. And helping another person to identify, talk about, share, look within about what it is that they would like to have in their life, what they might want to change. Perhaps they've never even thought about changing, but perhaps there's a sense of, I'd like to have something different and I don't know what it is. When I learned about coaching, I, for the first time, even though I had just completed a second master's degree in mental health nursing, I had not learned the skills that coaching taught me about how to approach someone and to, first of all, be with that person in that way and to ask the kinds of questions that would enable a person to begin to identify where they wanted to go. It was exciting for me. It was just really exciting for me to have a skill set and to develop this skill set added to everything else that I had already learned up until this point, and know how to talk to people in a different way, how to be with people in a different way, how to engage people in a different way, how to actually have communication skills, develop communication skills that were purposeful, that were based in theory, that were well supported by national, international organizations such as the International Coach Federation. I was really excited about that, and I saw very, very, very quickly, I mean, right from the beginning, I realized this is nursing. This is part of nursing practice. So I began to marry those ideas in my mind. I began to think about where, you know, how this overlaps, how this fits in so nicely with nursing. And so from there, you know, I started my own business. So, you know, I've been talking here for a while about how I got to coaching. So I'll just pause for a moment and see if anyone else has any other comments at this point or questions and where you might like to go from here.
You can unmute your phone with a *6 as well. I would like to comment that this sounds so empowering to me on the part of the client or the patient, and I think medicine is something that, for most of us, our experience is very passive, that medicine is something that's done to us. And your idea of actually asking the person where they want to be in their life, I think sounds so empowering for your clients.
Well, thank you for that comment. I certainly agree. Yes, and it still doesn't happen often enough as far as I'm concerned. And so that's why I'm so passionate about bringing coaching to nurses, bringing the skills to nurses. I have come to the place now where I say that every nurse, every professional nurse should have at least a basic understanding of coaching and some beginning skills in beginning to approach patients in this way before they begin teaching, so that they can begin to create a different context for teaching. Teaching will occur, of course, teaching will occur. Some patients do want teaching, clients do want some teaching, but you know what? Sometimes they don't, and sometimes that's not what's needed. Sometimes what they need is a good relationship with their nurse, a trusting relationship, the sense that somebody cares about them. All of those other things come first and are co-occurring with good coaching, good nursing.
What kinds of outcomes would you expect to see if you had a holistic, integrated approach that used coaching tools and skills in nursing?
Are you saying in nursing in general or from my own particular practice?
For your own practice, what are your objectives?
Have fun. I don't mean to be too flippant about that, but that's kind of where I've come to in my life and in my career. I want to do things that are fun, and it's really fun and rewarding for me personally, and I'm not saying it should be or is for everyone. It is for me personally to take all that I am and all that I've learned and be able to bring who I am in service to others. So the outcomes that I would want are, number one, to continue to enjoy what I do, and number two, for my clients, for my patients, to articulate an outcome that is good in some way for them.
You are in an interesting position because you are sort of alongside the healthcare system right now, so you have quite a unique opportunity to be observing it. And what are the issues that you see among practicing nurses now?
That's a big question. I have many nurses who are clients, and I teach nursing. I am also a professor of nursing, so I teach nursing students, and the right now, I currently work with, for most of my teaching career, work with nurses who are already practicing and then going back to school for either a baccalaureate degree or a master's or doctorate degree. So I've observed many things over the years. I'm not quite sure where to go with that. What I would reiterate is my observations that having coaching skills would enhance their personal satisfaction, much as it has for me, and would also enhance patient outcomes. And those would be the two big outcomes, as I already said, that I would be looking for. And it would also be two of the big issues. The issues in healthcare now are looking at patient care outcomes, and another big issue is nurse retention and nurses finding job satisfaction and nurses enjoying what they're doing. So it's all interwoven.
Absolutely. I don't think any of us wants to be treated by a healthcare professional who's unhappy in their job. It seems so obvious when you say it like that, but I don't think we normally think about it.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Many dresses are very rushed, and it's a fast-paced system that requires constant diligence, constant vigilance, constant attention to many, many competing demands, all at the same time. It's a very difficult world to be in for many nurses, and they're struggling, and yet their hearts are in it, and nurses in general, it's part of our professional values. We are there to serve, we are there to care. It's what we do, it's who we are, and having skills that allow us to do a better job with that, I just can't believe it can be anything but good. And I know we have some nurses with us today too, so I would certainly invite any of them to jump in here and say what they might like to say about this.
Who do we have on the call who's...
This is Deb Savage.
Hey, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Hey. Hello. I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for close to 30 years, and I'm also a coach. And I've actually been working with Arlene, bringing in the coaching into our nursing curriculum. And the students love it. They're learning. They tell me anyway it makes their jobs easier, and in fact, it's also helping them to communicate in a different way with their families. I think that Darlene is spot on that we need to have coaching skills introduced at the minimum and the baccalaureate level to let nurses use these skills to make their lives easier.
Deb, can you give us some examples of how nurses, which tools people are using and how they're using that for effective outcomes?
What my students tell me is that they can get the patients to cooperate easier. Things just seem to go smoother by asking them a question and allowing them to come up with, okay, so I'm going to walk this, this, and this today versus the nurse having to go in there and say, okay, let's go for a walk now. It's a different approach, but it works better. And they're telling me that it works better to get a patient to maybe not be on their light all the time, that they can really get to what's going on quicker without actually making them feel bad, or they're able just to get things done easier by communicating in a different way.
Wow, that's a great example. So you're going for more of a collaborative approach with the patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like.
So, Vicki, and for the rest of you on the call today, Deb is in front of us. Deb is in another state. She's from Nebraska. And we've never actually met each other in person, but like she said, we've worked on some projects together. And one of our projects that we co-created was having her students practice coaching skills that they were learning with the students in the program where I'm currently teaching. It's just been an interesting experience for everybody involved. We've done this for 2 years now, and this is one way we're using our roles as nurse educators to bring coaching skills to nurses, both as a recipient of coaching and as a nurse who's learning coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the students like it. And you would not believe how nervous they are to get on the phone with another nurse in another state. it's fun to listen to them because they're terrified.
What do you think is making them nervous about that?
They're out of their comfort zone. Nurses are used to telling everybody what they need to do. We're fixers. And they can't fix anybody, that they have to ask good questions instead of tell people what to do. That's hard for them.
And listen, right? They have to listen.
Yeah.
Karen, go ahead.
This is Deb Center from Colorado. And Darlene, and I was wondering, I totally agree with what you're saying related that every nurse, every student should learn coaching. And working with Diane Fasano's here, who you also know, you know,
uh-huh.
I think her vision would be that all the schools kind of start including coaching element as part of therapeutic communication, that it become part of who nurses, you know, our role as nurses. And I love hearing, Deb, that you said that they see that it actually makes a different connection with their patient. How do you go about doing that? How do you go about getting schools to shift their curriculum, to get faculty that even know what the skill set is in order to do it? Any suggestions you would have?
Jeff, I would like to just, I'll start and maybe others can chime in here too.
Okay.
You know, that's something we're currently doing at Northern. You mentioned therapeutic communication. We do have a course called, it's a communications course, an integral communications course, and students are introduced to coaching in that course as part of that basic skill set. I know Diane is bringing what she knows about coaching to her sphere of influence, too. I'm certainly on board with what she's saying about that, and I think we're saying something that is similar here. In terms of getting faculty, you know, that's another whole issue, faculty who know coaching. I'm currently teaching that, and but you know, now we have the book that I wrote, With These Other Wonderful Nurses, and so it spells out what's involved in coaching. We need some more training programs, I think, so the faculty can learn about coaching. It's like everything, you know, I start right where you are, and we're doing it. I mean, some things are already happening. You're hearing what I'm doing. You're hearing what Jeff Savage is doing. I know what you're doing with the Center for Nursing Excellence in Colorado, bringing some of this coaching out to nurse leaders in Colorado and around the country. So we're doing it. We're beginning it, and we just keep doing what we're doing and finding new ways to do it. I think that's what I would like to add to the discussion regarding that question. Others of you?
Well, this is Deb, and for us in Lincoln, I've been very fortunate to find a college that is very open to new ideas, and the dean kind of just turned me loose, and she liked the idea, and she said, create it and build it, and they will come. So
nice.
What we're doing is actually I teamed up with a company in Colorado, an organization, and I'm trained to offer a health and wellness coaching certification so that when the nurses graduate, they can set for the national certification exam if they want to.
Oh,
we just included it as part of our curriculum.
That's nice.
Deb, I'm glad you mentioned the national certification exam. It's one of the things I definitely wanted to tell anybody on the call today about whether you're a nurse or if you're, and those of you who are not nurses, that this book that we wrote and with the efforts of many nurses who are involved in coaching and wanting to bring coaching forward, that a national certification exam and process has been developed. It's offered by the American Holistic Nurse Credentialing Corporation, AHMCC.org, if anyone wants to find out more about that. And this book and their position on that is on coaching is that all the health professionals can learn these kinds of skills and bring this, whatever their discipline, can bring coaching forward in a way that does help people to become more involved in their own care. I'd like to say, too, that when this book was written, it was vetted with over 50 professional nurses and nursing organizations who came on board, who read what we were writing, that set forth the guide to coaching scope and competencies. The American Holistic Nursing Association, the American Holistic Nurse Credentialing Corporation, the American Nurses Association, which is the publisher of the book, all have been very instrumental in fostering this development of nurse coaching. The competencies that are in the book are aligned. Well, first of all, I want to say that the International Coach Federation competencies, which all of you are familiar with who are certified with ICF, are embedded in these competencies. If you're familiar with those competencies, you will definitely see them in this book that sets out the Provider's Guide to Coaching Scope and Competencies. And this, these competencies are aligned with the Standards of Professional Nursing Practice for ANA and AHNA. They're also aligned with the what we call the Affordable Care Act, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, with the Healthy People 2020 Initiative, with National Prevention and Health Promotion Strategies, with the Department of Health and Human Services, and many other federal health and wellness programs around the country. There's a lot going on, and healthcare is changing, and we nurses see that we can be, should be, and are a big part of what can happen to help people to be healthier.
I'd like to ask Karen Meadows, who's working with diabetic patients, to comment. If, I don't mean to put you on the spot, Karen, but I believe there's been research done with programs where hospitalizations for people with diabetes, if they are followed by the person being called by a nurse once a week afterwards, that the readmission rate is much, much lower. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
I'm not aware of that, but it does make sense to me. Our profession is fortunate in that we do have a fair amount of time with patients. And
yeah.
That helps. And I was, last August or September, feeling really unhappy in my current situation because I was being asked to do more with numbers and setting goals for people. And I found out about coaching in a very cosmic way, and so I'm just thrilled for the kinds of communication I've learned in my coach program, and I hope to pass that on to other diabetes educators. In a lot of ways, we do have some of these skills, but it's haphazard. We aren't trained that way either.
Yeah, and it seems like where you're really looking for lifestyle changes, and the acute medicine is so different from just how are you living day to day, right?
Yes.
That these skills are and tools are, what kinds of tools do you find most effective?
Oh, good question. I think one thing I wanted to say is that, for example, motivational interviewing is one of the big deals in diabetes education, and I just don't think it's in-depth enough. Basically, it's listen well. But coaching has taught me so much more, including how to phrase questions and how to help people come up with their own goals. I have had diabetes for most of my life, and the people who've been inspirational to me, I think, were using coaching skills without my realizing that's what they were doing. But I've, for a long time, just really urged my patients and clients to find medical care practitioners who encourage them. So that goes with what Darlene was saying at the very beginning. If we aren't inspirational people, why should they listen to us, and why should they ever come back?
Wow. Oh, it's so powerful. It's really powerful. Darlene?
Well, thank you, Karen, for saying what you said about diabetes nurse educators. Actually, not nurse educators, but educators. That's a whole field that certainly lacks for coaching. I'm so pleased that you are learning about coaching and bringing that to the book. In the book that I'm talking about today, we do talk about motivational interviewing and some other background concepts that are interwoven with coaching. There's a section on motivational interviewing, also appreciative inquiry. There's also a section for those of you who may or may not be interested. Something I find fascinating, though, is how the scholarship of nursing, nursing theories, the theoretical underpinnings of our practice, our profession, is very much supportive of nurse coaching. And there's a whole section in there about how these theories are tied to the skills that nurse coaches develop and how they utilize those with patients. And so, again, it was an attempt to show that coaching skills are very much, have always been, but as you just said, Karen, and as I was alluding to earlier, We didn't actually learn it that way. We didn't learn the follow through. We didn't learn how to ask the questions, what kinds of questions, and then how to structure an interaction with someone in a way that actually helped move someone forward. And that's what coaching has really provided to my practice, and I hear you saying something very similar to that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So do the coaching techniques work also with children?
Well, I'd like to hear from some other people. I'm saying that I believe they do, and I have some experience with young people, but not with children. I don't particularly have that experience other than with my grandchildren. And, of course, they work with my grandchildren. That's a whole different, something entirely different. But we do learn, when we're learning coaching, we do learn that coaching skills can be applied almost anywhere. I'd really love to hear from somebody who might have some experience working with children. Maybe you're a nurse or not. Anybody out there? Great question.
Darlene, this is Margaret.
And, hi.
And I would say that there's no reason that coaching wouldn't work. I mean, I would say that I've been using coaching skills regardless of the setting or the population for a long time. I don't have maybe the depth of skills, certainly, that you'd have, but I think that whenever you model anybody's world and you listen to them, then they are engaged. One of the problems with our healthcare system is we expect compliance, which is kind of the drill sergeant method, and it doesn't work. So that especially with children, you have to consider their growth and developmental stages. You have to understand where they're at cognitively. And the best way to do that is to listen. And I think kids as well as adults, and so I would think coaching would be incredibly powerful with this population. I'd love to see the work and the research on it.
You know, that takes me back to my initial comment on people feeling powerless in the healthcare system, and I think children feel especially powerless because adults order them around to tell them what to do, and to actually be listened to, I think, would be very empowering for children to participate actively in their own care.
Well, this is Deb Savage, and I've been a coach for about 6 years now, probably, and I have a 14-year-old son, and I experiment on him all the time, and it's made a big difference for us. And how we get along and how I'm able to communicate with him. It just seems less tense.
So what are some other chronic health conditions that you feel are particularly suitable for coaching? Jeff, do you want to answer that?
I think COPD would be a big one, weight loss, congestive heart failure, diabetes, of course, is a big one, rheumatoid arthritis or any sort of a degenerative joint disease. Just those are things that you can do something with and feel better.
I guess my question, this is Margaret again, my question would be what situation or concern couldn't benefit from coaching?
Yeah.
That's where I would go, too, Nikki. I would go with that question, and I can't think of anything that wouldn't benefit from coaching.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and if we're talking about health conditions, you know, it's occurring to me that that many CEOs, managers of hospitals, and other healthcare agencies are familiar with coaching when it's referred to as leadership coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And they know about that, and they're actually, I was talking to someone recently here locally in Albuquerque about who wanted to meet with me and pick my brain about bringing coaching to his hospital, and I was all excited about it, thinking that the course would be next, you know, bringing it to the nurses and teaching them coaching. And he did sort of want to talk about that, but he didn't really know anything at all about nurses doing the coaching. He was thinking about nurses receiving coaching, his nurse managers, his nurse leaders receiving that coaching. And, of course, wonderful, wonderful, because any nurse in any position who learns coaching then is able to utilize that in other ways and is in a better position, perhaps, and hopefully to promote coaching for all the staff, not only in the sense of employer to employee, but from nurse to patient. So this whole discussion that we're having here today is really talking about bringing this coaching, this nurse coaching, to this level, to this idea where the nurses at the bedside, the nurses in the clinics, the nurses all over. I mean, nurses are everywhere. You know, in fact, more and more nurses are community-based than they are hospital-based, and more self-care is moving away from hospitals. So and with the big emphasis on health promotion and reducing costs, there's just such opportunities. But if nurses don't jump on board, if they don't jump on board and bring these skills forward in a way that actually does produce some outcomes, some research-based outcomes, we're not going to do all that we're capable of doing.
You have any comments?
Go ahead. And I was just going to say that for myself, anyway, I really didn't know how useful coaching was or anything about it until I went through coaching and somebody coached me. And I think that, for me anyway, I tell people about it and they're like, yeah, that sounds nice. But until I actually coach a student or you work with some, they don't really get it. It's hard to understand the feeling that comes with the passion unless you've experienced it. So at least that's what I find.
Can you say more about your personal experience?
I went through a coaching program, and it was probably one of the best things that I ever did because I learned about myself, and I learned a different way to communicate. My whole world opened up when I understood there was a different way to live.
Did you make changes in your personal life? Your work life?
In fact, it was going through the coaching that made me want to become a coach because I saw the need for it. It was so useful and so powerful, and I thought, well, if it can do this for me, think of what nurses could do with this in our profession.
Yeah, me too, Jen. That was very similar to what I experienced.
Yeah,
of course, when you become a coach, you also receive coaching. So
yeah.
Those of us who are already certified as coaches, we know that. I'm wondering. I haven't heard so much from the people on the call who are not nurses, and I'd just be interested in how some of you might be experiencing this discussion from, say, outside of the nursing profession. Any comments you might want to share with the group?
Hi, this is Kathy, and I'm just fascinated by the conversation. I'm interested in continuing to learn more about how coaching is showing up out in the world. I work in an organization. I coach leaders, I do cross-cultural coaching, and I know about that environment. I had not really contemplated coaching in nursing, so I'm just here to really learn about, again, how the profession is showing up in other places. So I think this is very interesting. I'm very excited. You know, there's such a correlation, I think, between leadership coaching, any kind of coaching, and coaching in nursing. Thinking about the patients, you know, in the workplace, we use coaching to help employees become empowered, and I think that would be a wonderful result. for patients also to be more empowered, to be better advocates for their care and participants in their care. Again, it's not something I'm familiar with from the nursing end. I certainly am familiar with it from the illness end and watching others navigate it. But I think this is great to listen to the discussion.
Thank you.
Hi, Darlene. And those of you that are on the call, I'm going to echo what Kathy just said. I'm finding I'm really fascinated by the application of coaching into a lot of different areas and arenas. I deal with leadership coaching as is Kathy, and a lot of management coaching and career transition coaching. So to hear about this being used in a very specific discipline and industry, and the success that you're seeing, the benefits and advantage, again, to a whole population, especially in a very critical time of their life. So I'm fascinated as well. So thank you. Thank you for stepping up and offering to do this for us.
Yeah, thank you for your comments, Jane.
Yeah, who else would like to comment? Whom have we not heard from? I'd like to comment on my own experience with applied coaching as a financial planner. I'm retired now, but I do a lot of volunteer work, and I meet with people in retirement or around retirement, and, of course, money is such a fraught issue. And taking that approach that is respectful and asking people where they would like to be when they expect to be chastised, they expect to be told they've done everything wrong, and you just say, well, where are you now and where would you like to be, it just diffuses the whole situation. And Gene and I have worked together on the financial coaching for years. I just can't imagine doing financial planning without the coaching tools.
Hi, this is Elizabeth. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
I over-muted myself. I think I'm unmuted now. I just wanted to point out, first of all, I feel like hearing you talk, Darlene, bringing coaching into healthcare, not to be extreme, but it almost sounds like it could really save the healthcare system in the West in a lot of ways. I mean, that's a huge shift in the way it's been done. And also just a bit of personal experience. My dad ended up in a nursing home unexpectedly last year and ultimately passed away. But I was reading a book about, a different book about elderly people and the aging process and how important it is. And it was talking about doctors to really talk to people about their goals, not so much doctors deciding what they should do, but talking to the people more about their goals. And I definitely connected it with my dad and how I wish we had done it differently, but it really didn't dawn on me that really that's talking about coaching. As a coach, I should have picked up on that, but I think it was too close to it. But I think it's really great, the whole concept of bringing this into healthcare with people who are so vulnerable.
Yes, and I think we know that our society, this country, is not very respectful to people as they age, especially women. And I certainly saw that with my mom, who died at 90. And she resented so much how she was treated by people as if she were stupid, incapable of making decisions. And I think that's a really good point, that working with people as they age and being respectful to them, which is intrinsic to coaching, is essential. Darlene, do you want to comment on that?
Well, everything everyone is saying, I just want to, you know, my fist goes up in the air and I go, hurrah, you know, amen, and I agree, and absolutely. These are all good examples, and they're wonderful examples. They're beyond good. They're excellent examples. And, I mean, I just learned so much about the difference in any role that we're in, parent, teacher, spouse, partner, business owner, or nurse, and or nurse. Now, what changes when we are conscious of stepping into another person's energy field, knowing that we are that too, and being so present with that person, sensing that person, who that person is, what's going on with that person, and with that, and that sensing, and that sensing of one's own self, asking those really important questions. Even if you start with saying, which it sounds so trite, even if you start by saying, how are you? You're coming from a different place. You're really coming from a different place. But to follow that by, are you where you want to be? Is there anything you want to do differently? Is there anything you'd like to set as an agenda for our conversation today? The questions are limitless in terms of how you be with someone and ask a question that invites that person to engage not only with you, but to engage with himself or herself at a deeper level.
Darlene?
This is
Jan Anderson, and I teach with Jean in the Curitas Coach Program.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, I'm very good, yes, and I know we have some people here. These nurses are very familiar with Jean Watson and her work with Caritas.
Wonderful. Yeah, I love the work, and what you just said really resonated with me, and that's really what we try to teach in the Caritas Coach Program. And it's amazing the difference that it does make in everyone's practice, and including care for themselves. So I just love what the work is, you know, the potential that it has and the difference it's making already. So thank you.
Thank you, Jan. I was wondering, could you elaborate a little bit about something that's made a difference for you or something you've learned or what you're noticing? This is really interesting. I'd like to hear a little bit more.
I just finished my doctorate and I studied our coaches. I did a qualitative study just to see what the change, you know, what the effect on them was of the coach program.
Well, congratulations.
I'm so glad to be done.
Yes.
But I think what you just said really was a lot of the crux of what coaching can do for people, and not just for the coach, but for the person being coached, but for the coach as well, that they learn to be with not only that person they're coaching, but with themselves in a more holistic way, non-judgmental way, a more being with than talking to, which is kind of what you started with. So I just think it's a really, you know, valuable role, and it is expanding, and it's here to stay, I think. The role is only going to get stronger, I believe.
Jan, do you want to talk a little more about your research?
Well, basically what I found was that what the Caritas Coach Program did was allow students to actually find a voice by finding language, but also being an more of a spokesperson, I guess you might say, in our case, hearing science, as a way of, and coaching was more a way of being with, which is what kind of triggered me to even speak. With the person, it wasn't so much a linear process as it was a way to be with and find out what was meaningful for that other person. And so people found a voice and felt empowered, which somebody else mentioned, to serve in that role. And it made a difference in how the type and depth of connection that people have with each other. And what you said was exactly right, not just the person being it doesn't have to be a patient, it can be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a great potential for change. So in this case, we use hearing science. I know motivational interviewing and other behavioral kind of psychological theories are used, but we looked at it through hearing science lens. So that's where that's where the focus is.
Thank you.
Is very important. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Yeah, and of course we talk about hearing science. That's one of those theoretical frameworks that's very much a part of nursing practice, and And Dean Watson and her work is also mentioned in the book that we wrote.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely read your book. It's very good. Okay. Very helpful. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I really appreciated what you said about the depth of connection with people.
It seems like coaching is the anti-Twitter. So much of what...
On phone or, you know, social networks or however. It doesn't have to be in person, but I prefer in person.
But it seems that so much modern electronic communication is one way. I mean, it's all selfies and nobody's looking and nobody's listening. You know, it's a strictly one way. All people out there saying, oh, you know, listen to me, talk to me. But actually the listening component is what makes coaching powerful.
Yeah. Maybe the doctors are the Twitterers.
So, Darlene, we have about 5 minutes to wrap up here. Do you want to summarize?
Sure, I'd love to summarize. This has been great. I've really appreciated and enjoyed the opportunity to talk about something that is really, really interesting to me. Has really enriched my career in ways that I could probably just go on and on about. It's easy to get burned out in today's world, being a nurse, with all the many demands that are placed upon nurses. And I'm so glad that I moved in the direction, even after I got my PhD, I'm so glad I went back to school to get that. I went back to get a second master's degree because I realized I wanted to start my own business. And through nursing, the way I knew that it needed to be done, once that I wanted to do it anyway, and just to develop myself in a whole different way, and coaching has just really added to that. So I went up to where I started, and I went up to where I started my practice and I've done that now for several years, and I've been able to do it in a way that just is perfect for me, that just works for me. When I want more clients, I know how to just be with that desire, with that goal to bring them in, and it's always a good match. And when I get too busy and I need some to go away, that happens just as naturally and organically too. It works very, very nice, and it's merged very nicely with everything else that I do with my consulting and teaching. I would say I see on average about 10 to 12, sometimes up to 15 clients per week. So it takes a good day and a half with sandwiching clients in sometimes in the evening on phone calls to make it all work, but it does, and I love it, and it keeps me going and keeps me energetic and enjoying what I do. I'm so glad I had this opportunity to participate with all these wonderful folks who I wrote this book with and who were so much a part of this. Margaret, definitely you were very much a part of this with your work with the American Heart Assistance Credentialing Corporation. It just has enriched me in so many ways, and I'm so very glad about that.
I'm going to go around the room and alphabetically by last name and ask people to just make a comment, an observation, or a summary. Jan, would you like to start?
Yeah, thank you for offering this. I think it was very interesting. It's nice to hear from Darlene herself. I've read her books, but I've just added a lot to what I've read, and I appreciate your time and effort.
Deb Center.
Yeah, I really agree the same thing. I appreciate hearing from Darlene about this as well, and also the engagement from the non-nurses on how this relates to other places as well. That's really interesting.
Margaret?
Yes, I wanted to say thank you, Darlene, and I also wanted to comment that it was interesting to hear non-nurses talk about the role of coaching, because I think coaching is here to stay. It's beautifully aligned with the ACA and where our paradigm is. So thank you, Darlene.
Thank you.
Jude, we haven't heard from you today.
I'm with the non-nurses, but my sister is a nurse, and so we're going to have a discussion about some of the points that were made here, and that will be very interesting. So thank you for putting this together.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jude. And Karen Meadows?
Well, I'm just aware from everyone's comments that we're really working with health and wellness rather than illness, and that's where I think coaching is a really powerful tool.
Great comment. Ildi?
Yeah, this was really interesting hearing about coaching from the perspective of a different profession, and I'm feeling very positive and hopeful about the future of healthcare if this is the direction in which it's going.
Okay, thank you. Elizabeth?
Hi, yeah, I second what Hilda said. This is really encouraging. And also I would like to, Darlene, to write a book about how it works when you want more clients to come and when you don't want them, they just leave.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
So I'll wait for that for you.
Okay.
I appreciate you putting this on. It was nice to hear the different backgrounds and thoughts and sharing the ideas, and I took some notes and to follow up on. So I think I'm very thankful that we could do this.
I'm not sure if Amy Scudder is on the call. She was signed up, but I didn't hear her. Okay, Jean?
I've known Darlene for years, and this was a treat, Darlene, to hear a little bit more, not just from you, from your colleagues that have joined from around the country. So thank you all for showing up and sharing what you have to give. And I'll do what Darlene said as well. I feel a little bit better about the healthcare system. Maybe the direction it's moving is good.
Thanks, Jean. And Kathy, Tricky?
Just to add to what I said before, and I want to echo what others are saying, I'm very heartened about the direction of the healthcare industry, especially as an aging member of the population. You know, I'd hate to be on the receiving end of healthcare where I can't have my voice. So by the time I need more attention, I'll be looking for more nurses with coaching skills.
Wonderful.
Okay, I'm going to end the recording.